All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we've got an awesome guest on the line this week who's also a good friend of mine. I think I've known her for maybe about 10 years now. Maybe not 10, but at least, you know, 7 or 8 or at least 3 or 4 years before COVID, which has been about 3 or 4 years now as well. So super excited to have her on. When it comes to training older adults, she knows a thing or two. She's got a lot of experience in it. One of the most experienced trainers, I'd say, in New Zealand when it comes to training older adults. And those of you from Australia, I know what you're thinking. There's only so many people in New Zealand, you know. So is she the only one that does it in New Zealand? No, there's a thriving fitness industry in New Zealand, and Hilary's quite good at it. She's a presenter herself. I know I've seen you present on, I think, Fitness Games, but I'm not sure if you've also presented on this topic as well. But anyway, I'm going to introduce her and she'll tell you a little bit more about herself. It's the one and only Hilary Blackstock. Hilary, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's give the listeners a bit of a background. I've obviously known you for a few years now, but let us know, who are you? Where are you from? Where do you work now? What have you been doing the last couple of years?
Cool. So I'm in New Plymouth, Taranaki, which is on the west coast of the North Island of New Zealand. Absolutely hosing down and has been for the last 24 hours here. So I'm hoping to absorb some sunshine from you.
Isn't that every day in New Zealand, Hilary?
No.
Oh, okay.
It kind of sounds like it at the moment, but it's not usually this bad.
Okay.
I started my interest in physical education a long time ago, studied a phys ed degree with the aim of improving people's quality of life, which at the time was kind of unusual in phys ed. Lots of people wanted to work with athletes, and that wasn't really my thing. My mum's got a disability, and so, I kind of went down the quality of life pathway initially, and then literally fell into the older adult space. Not, I guess, literally fell, but I started working in a community facility, a pool gym-based environment, and they needed someone to take a class. And so very tentatively, I put my hand up and said, give it a crack. And then I thought, I'll broaden my horizons and go and have a look at some of the other community classes in town and go along and have a look. I rocked up to the first one and the instructor hadn't turned up. So
You rocked up as a participant, are you saying?
I rocked up as a participant and thankfully had a tape deck in my car and took
a
that
what?
Class.
A what did you say?
Way back then, a tape deck.
A tape what?
I don't even have one I can show you anymore, but the class that I take once a week actually still uses a cassette tape.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yep, so when technology fails, we can use a tape deck.
Yeah. For the younger listeners, that's like the equivalent of what a phone
almost like
used
a record. Yeah, almost like an old record, nearly. And so then just kind of merged into taking more and more classes. Took a little break when I had my small people, who are now not small anymore, and then I saw a job advertised looking after a project locally. It's a national project called Live Stronger for Longer. But it was a role looking after that space. So training trainers to take older adults classes and supporting those who are already in that space. So I've been in that role for about 7 years, but taking older adults classes for about 20 now.
So you started taking those classes when you were 5? Makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
So, well, question off the bat.
Like
well, question off the bat. You might not know this off the top of your head. How many older adult classes do you think you've taught, and how many trainers do you think you've trained?
So in the last 7 years, so in the role I'm now, I've trained about 55 trainers.
Okay, that's the whole New Zealand population, isn't it?
Yeah. So on top of, you know, some of those trainers are already working in space, and so I've just needed a little bit of upskilling.
Yep.
And others of them have, you know, completely brand new, no experience with exercise and no experience with older adults. So a real range. As of classes, at the moment I take 3 a week of my own, but I've gone through phases of taking 1 a week and 5 or 6 a week. So
gotcha. You reckon you've taught 1,000 classes?
I don't know. My math's very good, yeah. But maybe.
I think you have on those numbers. I think you have. So but the bottom line is Hillary knows a thing or two about the topic. So let's dive into it. Let's start basic Hillary, and then we'll kind of get it more advanced as we go on. So let's just start at that basic level. Let's say there's a trainer listening to this, and let's say they're not an older adult themselves, because I think if you are an older adult yourself, you kind of got a bit of understanding anyway. So let's say you got a trainer, they've been in the industry, you know, a couple years, they're maybe in their late 20s, early 30s, something like that. They don't want to do the training athlete thing. They don't want to do the bodybuilding thing. They're like, right, I really want to train older adults. Any tips for that trainer? Let's just start one-on-one. Before we get to the group side of things, let's just start one-on-one. What do you think that trainer needs to know, either physically or non-physically, about training older adults? And what do they need to be wary of?
So I think the first thing, you know, you need to do is the same as with any other client. If you're working one-on-one with someone, you know, get a feel for them, about where they're at, what they need, what their, you know, medical conditions are. And, you know, often we find those medical conditions do increase as we get older. But, you know, I'm working with 70, 80, 90-year-olds who don't have any medical conditions too. So I think first and foremost, if you're working one-on-one, find out about the person. And that person might still want to be, you know, bodybuilding or, you know, training for marathons or something. So I guess find out where they're at and get a really good handle on, you know, the things that change as we age. So, you know, it's the same as every other age group, right? There's 60-year-olds who are very athletic and, you know, seem like 40-year-olds, and then there's 90-year-olds who are also like that. So I think having a handle on the changes in our bodies as we age and the changes in our brain as we age. So doing some kind of upskilling in the space, and also being medical conditions, because although that person might not have a medical condition now, we don't know what's undiagnosed as one we're working with, and it just gives you a better handle on the next person who might come in who might be different. So I would say, looking at the process of aging, knowing the person, and having kind of a handle on those basic medical conditions, or not basic, the ones that we see more often.
Awesome. Yell them out. What are those ones? What would you say the top five that you see again and again and again?
Oh, so currently lots of mental health. So I don't think COVID helped in terms of isolation. We know for all age groups it's a biggie, but social connection is huge. So mental health, and that's obviously across all ages. High blood pressure. And the complications that arise with that. Diabetes, type 2 specifically. And I guess, knowing the condition, but knowing the things that can impact in someone's life, I think is quite important. So we might know what diabetes is, but do we know how it affects their feet and their eyesight and their nerves, things like that? Osteoarthritis and osteoporosis would be the other two. To keep kind of, in your head at all times, because someone can have all these conditions but not be diagnosed, right? So, and then the last one would be cognitive decline.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Okay. Now, do you do much one-on-one stuff as well, or is your stuff pretty much all groups?
I'm pretty much all groups at the moment. I've got a few that I take one-on-one, but predominantly group-based for me.
Okay, cool. I'll ask this question anyway, then I don't know how you'll kind of respond, but we'll have a conversation about it. So over here in Australia, anyway, we pretty much pre-screen every client one-on-one, right? We've got like a specific form as well from AusActive. It's the APSS, yada, yada, yada. There's like a list of questions there. And if anyone ticks yes to kind of any of the big ones, they need to get medical clearance. And then there's a bunch of kind of like ones like, you know, do that aren't as ex- so the first six are like, you know, have you had a heart attack, do you have uncontrolled diabetes, you know, that kind of stuff. And then the next kind of layer are not immediate, hey, you need a clearance, but if you have multiple or significant, then you need clearance. These are things like, do you smoke, you know, what's your age, those kind of things there. So with someone that the question is essentially pre-screening. At what point would you ask every client to get medical clearance, or is if they're, you know, 60 but a history of exercise and no medical? What's your kind of take on that, I guess, is my question. Pre-screening and medical clearance.
Probably live in a kind of blessed environment in that a lot of my clients come from the GP, they're referred from the GP. So they have medical clearance.
Yep.
Those that don't, again, it would be very similar. So best practice, you know, if they come up with any of those uncontrolled conditions, I'm definitely seeking clearance. Also, just from looking at a person, you know, you can often see some of those conditions that they may or not be aware of, and therefore, you know, I would refer out or get a clearance as well. So, yeah, if I was not referring medical conditions from a GP, then I would have a very good relationship with the GPs in the area that were, you know, that I would have contact with. Because a lot of these people, you know, might not travel a huge distance to see you. And therefore, if you know the GPs in your realm, I would definitely have a relationship with them. It just makes that so much easier.
100%. And do you do, say, in your situation at the moment, do the GPs give guidance as well? Do they say, hey, this person, go and train, but Hillary, make sure you don't do A, B, and C? Or, hey, Hillary, you can train, but this person's, no, it's just pretty much, yes, this person needs to exercise. Hillary, do your thing.
Yep, this person is safe to exercise. Sometimes you'll come with, you know, because we get a list of their medical conditions on that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally aware at that point, you know, what, where they're kind of at, and then you meet them and you add the next layer of, you know, what you can see in front of you as well, because, you know, three people with exactly the same medical conditions are always going to present differently.
Yep. Okay. What about, say, non-physical, like, because, and this is probably more a one-on-one personal trainer kind of thing, but I feel like the one-on-one personal training, it's so much of the relationship with you and your client. And I mean, I guess if you want to train this population, you've probably got similar interests anyway. But my question there is, like, because it wouldn't really make sense if your whole life is, you know, hey, I go out and I go clubbing and partying and drinking and up till 2 a.m. and you're training people that, you know, have got whatever, you know, adult kids, or, you know, his partner has passed away and he's at home. Like, any tips on that side of things there?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Well, that's how I started, right? I was not quite five when I started, but definitely didn't have children of my own. And and I loved it because it was like having, you know, extended grandparents. And, you know, that I found kind of it worked both ways. It gave me a better understanding of, you know, of aging. It gave me a greater understanding of my parents and my grandparents. And I think conversely, a lot of these people had children who had moved away. And so I was kind of like a surrogate, you know, kind of vicariously lived through that. And I think it worked both ways for us.
Yeah. So my first job in the industry, Hillary, was also at like a leisure center. So it was like a pool and so a lot of kind of, and yeah, there were older adults classes at 8 a.m. or whatever. So, you know, I experienced a bit of that and I used to love it as well. Especially at that time, this is going back, must have been 2008, 2007, you know, going back like 15 years ago. And even like some of the, I got into history from just speaking to older adults. Cause like there was an older like Jewish guy that came in and he was telling me about like, he was around when Israel was formed. And then there was another German guy that was around during like World War II. And I'm just like, okay, like, you know, real life stories. So it was, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, to learn. And I think you don't learn, like you're saying, you don't know, just learn about, you know, the person and the aging, but you learn about, you know, their life. And yeah, there's so many cool stories. I'd love to have kind of written them down along the way.
Mm. All right. Let's move on to group, because that's a massive one as well. Would you feel in that market, Hillary, more older adults do group, will be more likely to do like a group fitness class or a group exercise boot camp kind of thing than one-on-one?
Yeah, definitely here they do. I think part of that is cost. And part of the social interaction. There's a couple of things that kind of meld them into that group. I oversee 65 groups at the moment, and there's probably 8 to 10 different genres. So there's people who are coming and doing a seated class. There's people who are coming and doing Tai Chi and Zumba and yoga and Pilates and circuits and, you know, movement to music. So there's, you know, even within that adult group range, there's still heaps of options.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's speak about group. So maybe we'll start easy again and then go maybe more advanced. So I think that the kind of easiest way to start training older adults would be in a gym setting. There's a gym, you know, and they do whatever, boxing at 6 a.m. and, you know, body pump at 6:30 p.m. And, you know, at that kind of 8 o'clock slot or whatever, there's a class for older adults. Let's say a trainer's listening to this and they want to teach that class, or they may be like yourself and they've been kind of thrust into it. You know, hey, Jono, you're working at the gym. We need someone to teach 8 a.m. You go and teach it. Let's go both ways. What tips have you got for a trainer teaching that class in terms of some really good things to do, exercises to include, but also the other way? What are some things you really need to be careful of and, you know, probably not do or maybe avoid? And let's know both sides of it.
Yeah. Okay. So if they've got the opportunity on watch first, because I think that gives you an idea of both those, what to, not to do. Because depending on who's leading it, you're going to get both sides of that. Know the audience. I guess you can't walk in and know the audience direct, but chat to them, you know, find out what their goals are, what their music's like if you're playing music. So, you know, you might want to go and play, I don't know, some Doja Cat or, you know, whatever you're listening to, but actually they want to listen to Elvis or the Beach Boys or, And making sure the environment's safe. So sometimes, you know, you can go into a class and there's equipment all over the place, and for some groups that works. For some old adults, it doesn't work. I guess the same stuff in terms of medical conditions is going to be pertinent. I generally, if I was walking into a class and didn't know them, I would start on the easy side. Yeah. So, you know, don't go hard out on the first week. Do something quite light and then talk to them, see how that went and what they like. But I think communication is key, you know, finding out what works for them and what doesn't. In terms of things to avoid, lots of rules around, you know, when you're studying, things to avoid and things. I mean, I remember, you know, learning back then you didn't do a bike. People to kind of take a couple of steps to the side because it wasn't safe. Now in a strength and balance setting, we want people to be walking to the side so that they get that kind of, you know, their ears and stuff develop an understanding of what that feels like to keep them safe. Jumping, anything with high impact, probably I would avoid initially to start with. We know it's great for bones, but we can't see what people's bones are like on the inside. You know, I wouldn't do that initially either. They would probably be my big tips to avoid, but have fun, you know. Some of these people, I've been told many a time, you know, there's not much fun as you get older, and so, you know, just have a laugh with them and you know, treating them as people is great.
I think it's a great tip with the music. It's such a good subtle one that if you haven't taught older adults, you might not know about, and you just go in there and you play like you do for everything else, but it just kind of, it ruins the mood and the experience for them. So I think that's a great one.
And don't be surprised when they sing. So if you put on the Beach Boys and you've got a whole class of singers, you know, that's great for them. So
100%.
Yeah, sing along with them.
Awesome. Now you mentioned medical conditions. What's and this might be different in kind of the situation you're based, but essentially at the start, like let's say I'm a new trainer coming in, and there's, you know, it's a group exercise class. Everyone obviously did a pre-screener initially when they signed up to the gym or whatever. Now I've come in here with a class of, you know, 15 people that I don't know. Do you have any tips? Obviously at the start, you might say, hey, you know, who's new? You know, does anyone have any conditions? Come up and let me know. Like, any tips on that side of things?
Yeah, so if you don't have access to that medical screen initially, and I would definitely recommend that you get access and speak to them. But if you don't, I would give a nice long warm-up. We know bodies take a little bit longer to warm up and get ready for movement. So I'd give them a nice long warm-up. I would tell them what's ahead. You know, there's a lot of older adults who, you know, aren't used to surprises, so tell them what's coming. And then they can choose, right, whether they feel safe enough to opt in or opt out, and give that, you know, give that tip to them. Say, hey, look, you know, do what you feel comfortable with, leave out what you don't feel comfortable with. And it's actually okay if what you did last week doesn't feel okay this week, you know, so give them that straight up. The other thing that I would recommend is if you are leading a group class and there's provide different levels, right? So, and when you're demoing, start with the initial activity, whatever that is, and then offer progressions. But you don't even have to say they're progressions. Just start with your first intensity and then build on that. But if you can, always demo the first version, because they're more likely to copy you. And so if you can demo that first intro level and provide progressions, but then go back that first, you're more likely to keep them on that safe side, especially in Italy.
Got it. Makes sense. All right. In terms of like, hell, let's go two ways with this. So I'm going to ask you two questions, but I'll describe both of them at the start so we get the difference. What would a sample program look like? And by program, I mean kind of macro the whole thing. Let's even just say, or we could even probably just say a week, I guess. Let's say there's a trainer and they're teaching an older adults class and they're running three sessions a week. Let us know what maybe those sessions could look like from an overview. Like, is it always a whole body workout? Is it sometimes resistance, sometimes cardio? Is there always balancing? Like, let us know from the overview side of things. And then the follow-up question will be like a specific session.
Okay.
So from an overview, let's say you're running three sessions a week. What are your kind of tips there?
So if you're running three sessions a week, I personally never do the same thing twice. And that's probably because I don't like to do the same thing twice. So I would make sure, so over the week, you want to cover, obviously, always that nice long warm-up. I would always be giving them some kind of huff and puff. Yep. But whether that be a steady state or interval, I would alternate that. So you might do a steady state Monday, an interval Wednesday, and a steady state again on Friday.
Yep.
I would always do some balance and mobility.
Is that always an end thing? You always do at the end of the session or at the start?
Mobility, I do at least at the start and the end. I often challenge them through the middle as well. Strength, you could go both ways. You could do, I would break it up. So you might do one day of, you know, heavy, high, more high intensity stuff, where you're kind of really encouraging them. I find this really hard with this age group specifically. And because I don't work with younger people, I don't know if it's a thing. But they tend to, you know, you offer them weights, they'll pick up a 1 kilo, or say to you, oh, I've bought some 1 kilo weights. I'm like, you carry 5 kilos of shopping over the supermarket. So you're not really, like, 1 kilo is not going to challenge them. So it takes, you can't, it would depend on the group whether you go in and throw them a 10 kilo for their squats. But I would work towards that, right? So one, at least one heavy session a week for their bones and muscles. And then you could do the other ones. You could either do, I guess, the Monday, Friday heavy and the Wednesday light, or do the Wednesday heavy and the Monday, Friday light.
Gotcha.
I would always put some cognitive stuff in there. And we know now that, with our cognitive stuff, we'll often have older adults say, well, I do the crossword or I do my Sudoku or whatever. But actually, we know that a high heart rate with a cognitive challenge is far better for our brains and avoiding dementia or limited dementia than, doing a crossword. So putting that in together, and I would do some of that every session. That would probably be the main thing to focus on.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's give us a sample session now. So just like, when's your next session?
Tomorrow.
Have you got it planned? Do you know what you're doing?
Yep. So tomorrow we are doing a nice long kind of cardio warm up, but there'll be lots of singing in that because
gotcha. Break it down. And let me just visualize this as well. Is it in a gym?
No, so I only teach in community facilities, so community halls.
Gotcha.
So we have no equipment. We carry everything that we need to use.
Participants will bring weights in, or you bring?
I provide those.
Gotcha. What yeah. are you?
So that's my workout to carry them all in.
100%. Well, I'm a boot camp guy. I feel that. So let's even break it down. Do you know approximately how many members you'll have tomorrow?
So I run two classes back to back, but we'll go with the first class is usually about 30 odd.
Oh, wow. Okay. And how much equipment are you bringing for 30 people?
For tomorrow, I'm going to take weights for everyone.
Oh, wow. What, like two dumbbells?
I use sandbags.
Gotcha. One sandbag.
I try not to use dumbbells with my group, just because I've found in the past those who don't go to a gym, they find it a little bit scary to have a dumbbell. So find sandbags a little less threatening for them.
Gotcha. What's do you bring 30 sandbags?
Yes.
Okay. Weights? What kind of weights are the sandbags?
So anything from a 3 to a 6.
And you kind of got a mixture.
So those who need more, I'll give them the heavy one and then load up from there.
And you unpack this, or do the participants bring go to your car? What do you? These are car? Is it a trailer? What do you?
I've got a little car, a little old, my granddad's old little old hatchback.
Okay.
And it's well packed. I'll have weights. I will have resistance bands and balls tomorrow.
What kind of balls?
Little round $2 shot ones. So some are spiky, some have got pitches.
We got them in Australia too. All right, cool. So, and that's I guess a pretty average setup. You'll have a bunch of sandbags, a bag with a heap of resistance bands in there, and then some balls.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. The other things I use quite a lot of is noodles, like pool noodles cut in half. Yeah.
Love them.
I use balloons.
Yep, love
probably them. More than I'd like.
You can never get sick of using balloons.
Oh, I know, and the hilarity with them is, great. Just check that there's no one terrified of balloons, because I've had that before.
Okay, there you go. Awesome.
And that's any age.
Yeah, true. All right, so that gives us the equipment breakdown. So let us know what happens in the session. You're going to do a nice long warm-up, you mentioned, with a lot of singing. What does the warm-up involve?
So the warm-up tomorrow, it's to 3 or 4 different songs. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what they are. It's like Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath Kind of in that will be some mobility, so especially through shoulders, hips, ankles, backs, and it's all kind of movement to music stuff.
To the beat, or you've just got it in? Yep, okay.
Yep, no, definitely to the beat. I get in trouble if I don't go to the beat, Jono.
Okay, and these are mobility exercises, so these could be things like
So they're like shoulder rolls and arm swings and body twists and
awesome.
And interspersed with that, some marching, some step touching, some heel digs, some squats, just to kind of warm up everything.
And sorry, before this, how long is the class total?
This one's an hour.
An hour, okay. And do you recommend that for most older adults?
Depends on the group. Some, I would say 45 minutes is heaps.
Yep.
We do take a drinks break, and we do take, obviously, an equipment switch over kind of that takes a little longer. So I would definitely allow longer for transitions. If you've got 30 in a group, especially.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So how long does the warm-up go for? You said four or five songs. That's got to be, what, 15
minutes?
Yeah,
about 12 minutes, 12, 15 minutes. Yep. Okay. And then I'm actually going to put some cardio in with that as well. So after they've done the first three or four songs, then the music gets a little bit faster. And we will do more kind of like, you know, elbow to knee movements, heel kick-ups behind, you know, some more overhead stuff, which they used to say don't do. And obviously there's people, you know, that have got heart conditions, maybe high blood pressure, stuff like that, that may not want to put their hands over the head. Obviously always give them an option. What else is there? I've got them doing some little sprints, so little runs or walks or even heel pumps on the spot.
Yep.
What else?
Interval? Is this kind of interval based now?
Yeah,
this...
yeah. And they'll do like a little bit of pretend skipping as well. So not with actual ropes, but just, yeah. Yep. So that's kind of the warm-up cardio. And so that takes us to about nearly 25 minutes.
Yep. Awesome.
Then I'll split them in two. And part of the reason I do this is so that I don't have to carry quite so many weights. So half of them are going to use the weights and do lower body.
Yep.
And the other half are going to use the bands and do upper body.
Gotcha. You got the exercises in there?
Yep. So lower body, they're going to do some variations on squats. One of the things I quite like to get them to do is to not just do your traditional, you know, hip width squat, because they're getting in and out of cars. I say to them, you're never going to line up your feet and your knees to get into the car, right? So let's just mix it up. So I actually, they hate it. Well, they moan about it, but I'll often get them to do, you know, a circuit of squats where they're not allowed to do a traditional squat. So they've got to mix it up.
Nice. And they chew, they quite so.
Awesome. I will usually show them some options, you know, whether it be heel up or wide feet or, you know, feet in different positions. So I'll often provide some scaffolding so that they've got something to go off.
Gotcha. And is this rep based or time? Like with this, the way you've got this set up, is it like, right, here's my timer for 1 minute, for example. Over there, so you guys are doing tomorrow. Squats. Yep. Awesome.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. And I usually, for tomorrow, they're doing just over a minute, but with transitions, it probably works out about a minute of activity. So they're going to do squats. They'll do some split squats. They're doing some weight transfer squats. So they'll either squat down and then transfer to one side, or squat and transfer to the other. And whether or not that transfer involves balance with a leg lift will obviously depend on the participant. And then they'll do some kind of calf raise work as well.
Gotcha.
And this group especially really like to know why they do it. So, you know, what's that? What's the life skill that this is going to help? Some groups like that. Some groups don't like that. Like my Tuesday group, don't really mind too much. Yep. They just do as they're told.
Tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Yeah. And they do tend to be, I don't know whether it's because most of them have also had a doctor say, hey, this is good for you, or whether they're just a more compliant age group. They know that they don't want to fall. They know that they want to live well and age well. And so they just seem to be more conscientious and more diligent, like with homework and things like that. So after that, so the upper body guys are going to be doing some bent over rows with the bands. They'll do some tricep work. They're going to do some chest work. And that's them.
Awesome.
Oh, and some rotator cuff work as well.
Nice. Is that much? So you do about a minute. Do you do what, three rounds, four rounds? How many rounds on each of those exercises?
So they'll do twice tomorrow, but it differs every week.
Gotcha. So you're about, you give or take
between
about,
one and four probably.
Okay. And it's, so they give or take about 10 minutes on each. They're on the lower body station for about 10 minutes, on the upper body for 10.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yep. Then I'm going to bring them all back together, do some more kind of movement to music cardio with them, but
This is a
with
good
more of
workout. This is a good workout for me. How fit are
yeah.
your older adults?
So the second lot of cardio involves quite a lot of balance, so we're not going to do any static balance with them tomorrow.
Gotcha.
So yeah, they'll do go based balance to music. And it's funny, I get them to do static balance. If I've got music playing, they'll be standing on one leg or like, dancing to the music while balancing. They're great at making up stuff. Yeah, so do some balance. So that kind of is, one-legged movement and stuff. It's a little bit hard to explain, but getting them to stand on one leg and do a toe point to the front, the side, the back, and bring it in. And then challenge them, can they do that without putting that moving leg on the floor? Getting them to walk forwards and backwards on their toes, getting them to walk forwards and backwards on their heels, getting them to walk forwards and backwards like they're, heel to toe, like they're telling the policeman they haven't had a drink for breakfast.
Is that what you do in New Zealand? Have drinks for breakfast or?
Yeah,
Yeah,
no.
okay.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who do, but hopefully they don't come to my class after that.
Awesome. All right, cool. And is that the how you finish off, or do you do some
No,
stretching?
so then I'm going to give them some balls in twos and threes and give them some brain challenges. So the first one, they'll be squatting and passing, but every time they pass, I'll have to go through the alphabet on a certain topic. So I usually give them a couple of options. Like some might go through fruits and vegetables, and so they'll have an apple and a banana and a cauliflower and a,
Oh,
you know.
wow. This is a good class. You're getting some
Yeah, well, I
resistance,
think
you're getting some cardio, you're getting
I don't
some
know.
trivia.
Yeah, I don't know how it works in Australia, but when they go for their license here, they have to, name 30 animals in a minute, something like that. And so if they've
Jesus.
gone through A to Z of animals, it makes that process so much easier. If they've done that balance work, it makes it so much easier, right?
100%. Well, I'm stuck on the D. What's the fruit and vegetable with a D?
A date.
There we go. Now I would suck at this game. These other adults would kill me. What's the E?
eggplant.
There we go. You've played this game before.
I
I'm
have,
just when you're like apple banana, I'm like, oh yeah, pretty easy. But then as you're talking, I'm going through my head. I'm like, that crap is a D. What's an E? What's
It's
an F?
funny because they get to feijoa. You guys don't get those, so
Yeah.
you'll have to come to New Zealand for those. But ask Dave Leo about them.
Okay. F,
Yeah.
F, F. I'm going to Google that right now. But all right, sorry, keep going. So you play your cognition
Yeah.
games?
So we play just kind of some cognitive games and just, allow them to have that social time. Like they might be thinking and laughing, and it's never a quiet part of the class. And then finish off with some ability, some breathing. And some stretches if there's time and if we need to.
Gotcha. Figs. I just Googled. That's what I
Yeah,
would use.
nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, cool. Well, hey Hillary, there's some awesome tips you've given us there. That's pretty much all I wanted to go through there. Is there anything you wanted to add on, or is there anything you wanted to finish with, or is there anything I should have asked you but didn't?
Not that I can think of. I think, I guess, keeping in mind that, regardless of age, they're people, right? And so treating them just as you would treat your neighbor or your parent or your grandparents, or, they're not. I know some people get afraid of the medical conditions, and I get that. But in reality, I think you get those medical conditions in any age class, and they're just less likely to know about them. It's a great age to work with. They're so giving and so loyal. And like if someone can't make it, they'll almost always text me and say, hey, you won't see me this week, I'm off with the grandkids. Or they can be quite transient, right? Because they in the school holidays, they might be looking after grandkids, and then with it, when it's not school holiday, they want to take a holiday, so they're away. Yeah, but I think it's a great group to work with. If you're in a group setting, I'd be aware of the contrast. So thinking about their eyes and their ears, so really clear instructions, and making sure that if you've got a black background that you're not wearing black because they're not going to see your body movements. But have fun with them.
Awesome. I love it. All right. In terms of resources, Hillary, we've got a course at Fitness Education Online. So if anyone's listening to this and you want to do that course, that's a CEC course there. But apart from obviously FBO, any resources you recommend people should go? Any YouTube channels, any people to follow on Instagram or social media that give tips about training older adults?
In terms of...
No, is the answer no.
Well, yeah, I think that, I mean, it depends on what you're doing with them. In terms of medical conditions, I know Mish has done a great session with you guys, I think, which was really helpful in terms of those most frequent medical conditions to deal with. And then I think depending on whatever your genre is, I would then go looking in that space, right? Because, you know, there's some great Tai Chi on YouTube and there's great Tai Chi resources, but if you're not taking Tai Chi, it's only a tiny bit relevant. And, you know, you can always take those crossovers, you know, so learn something from Tai Chi to incorporate. But I would search out the people that are working in the same genre as you and watch those, kind of, yeah, take information from there. And I find with everyone, there's people that are amazing, but you still take away positives and negatives and learnings from. So,
Either what not to do, or even just like, oh, that's an okay drill, but if I did this, it would be awesome.
Yep. And I think, you know, taking drills from, from boot camps and from dance classes and from Tai Chi, like there's so many things you can add.
Yep, agree. Awesome. All right, Hillary. Well, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Fitness Education Podcast. Before you leave, here's a message from our sponsors.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort, so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes, all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.